Good to be here today and to worship God with you. How many of you enjoy worshiping God together? I know it's great to worship God, you know, by yourself, and we need to do that, but there's something about coming together to church and just joining together with the household of faith, the people of faith, and that's something that is a great privilege that we have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this is a great day, the day that the Lord has made. I have a begin today with a prediction that the summer is here and it's going to get hot. And that's probably the extent of my predictions that I'm going to venture with today, at least. But I just wanted you to know that the summertime is here. And how many of you got some great things planned for the summer? And so we've got some things planned. I've got a Kansas City Royals game planned, and I'm going to go to. And my kids got me tickets towards that, so we're going to go to that sometime this year. But I'm looking forward to some things this summer, and I know we all are. But I want to talk to you this morning about the word climb. And I'm going to begin by a story that I'm going to tell you up front is not theologically correct. There's a man that appears before the heavenly gates to St. Peter. And St. Peter asks him, have you done anything that would be worthy of gaining entrance into heaven? And the man was a little quiet. And then he said, I can think of one thing. He said, once I came upon a gang of mean bikers who were harassing a young woman, and I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and the meanest biker there. I kicked his bike over. I smacked him on the head, ripped the nose ring out, threw it on the ground, and told him, leave her alone or you'll answer to me. St. Peter's impressed, and he said, when did this happen? And the guy said, just a few minutes ago. Just a few minutes ago. Some of you are going to get that in a few minutes. Now, that man may have done something foolish. Seemingly foolish, but I want to talk to you today about Peter as he walked on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, we're going to begin there. There is a big difference between being foolish and taking a risk. There's a big difference between that. And so we'll see some of those things today. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 32. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat, that is with the disciples, was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had come into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, most of us have read this story perhaps numerous times. We've heard the story. And I want to just reiterate a couple of things out of this story today and hopefully gain some things out of it that we can use in our own lives. And so here we see that Peter climbed out of the boat and walked on the water. He left the rest of the disciples in the boat. And he went to Jesus, who had called him to him. That's an important thing. And here's the other thing. He took a risk that no one else did, but he also experienced a new relationship with Jesus after that. John Ortberg said in his book, "If you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat." He said this, "There is something inside you that wants to walk on the water, to leave the comfort of routine existence and abandon yourself to the high adventure of following God." And so we have something on the inside. Every once in a while, I think it kind of tries to push its way up and have its way in our life. And sometimes we dare to follow that, and sometimes we stuff it back down. But you know, there's a thrill to follow God. And sometimes it takes us out of our comfort zone. It takes us out of the boat, so to speak. And so the man Peter, let's look at him just for a moment. He was a businessman. He was a fisherman. He was influential with those that were around him. He was outspoken. He often spoke when he should have been quiet. Perhaps he spoke when, before he would think things through. He would say things that kind of got himself in trouble several times. He was impulsive, did things without thinking things through. On the other hand, he was a bold, he was a fervent person for Christ. And his name reveals some things about him. It signifies, according to Adam Clark commentary, it signifies a stone or a fragment of rock. And that is significant in that a stone could be kicked around. It could be moved around by a number of things. And it seems that perhaps Peter, in the beginning of walking with Jesus, got moved around by a number of things. And so I want us to look at this Peter here today as he climbed to the next level with God. First of all, Peter climbed out of the boat when Jesus called him to come. He didn't just decide to do that. He didn't do it on his own. He didn't think, if I take this step and if I can get this done, this is going to launch me into a level of fame that I never had before. He didn't do it because of things like that. He did it because Jesus asked him to come. I think he probably stepped out of that boat before he thought. As soon as Jesus said, come, he just stepped out of the boat. And you know, and then that's when the thought comes. Have you ever done something, stepped out and done something, and then all of a sudden you remember, you weren't supposed to be able to do this. And that's probably where Peter was at. He was probably stepped out of the boat and then, oh, what did I just do? But he found that he could walk on the water, and he took off walking on the water toward Jesus. And so, you know, he was doing something that humanly impossible. I'm reminded of young Tommy. He was 21 years old. The day he turned 21, he told his mother. He said, "Grandpa and Dad walked on the water when they turned 21. I'm going down to the creek and I'm going to walk on water too since I'm 21. He comes back a short while later. He's drenched from head to toe. He's soaked. And he looked at his mother and he said, "I don't understand why Grandpa and Dad could walk on water on their 21st birthday, but I couldn't walk on water on my 21st birthday." And the mother looked at him and said, "It's a lot easier to understand, son, when you understand that Grandpa and Dad's birthday was in January and yours is in June." So Peter found himself doing something that was beyond human ability, supernatural. He found out, have you ever tried walking on water? I have. Haven't got it done yet. I've sank every time. I've also tried to part the water. I haven't got it done yet. I suspect it's because there's no need, but at any rate. But Peter was doing that. The other disciples in the boat are often criticized for not getting out of the boat. But the truth is, Jesus didn't ask them to come. So don't be too hard on them. The boat that Peter climbed out of was a literal boat. But today, people have many different kinds of boats that they find themselves in, and maybe for many reasons, maybe not even for their own, not because of themselves. People find themselves in situations and circumstances. Some things may be because they did them themselves, but there are boats that people find themselves in. In order to follow God, you're going to have to learn to get out of the boat. It might be your job that you have now. You know you have something else that you want to do, but it takes stepping out of the boat. It takes taking a risk. It might be your education level, and you're wondering, can I really do this? Can I really go get that degree that I've always wanted? It could be relationships that are not safe, unhealthy, and you know it. And you know that something needs to be done about it, but it takes stepping out of the boat, taking a risk in order to deal with it. Past failures or defeats can be boats that people find themselves in, and they don't want to get out of the boat again because they tried it one time and it didn't work. Maybe it's secret things that they've never told anybody else. It's your boat that you live in. It could be your comfort zone. It could be, but if I stepped out of the boat, I mean, I've got everything just the way I want it. Anybody ever been there? Somebody said this one time, they said, I got all my ducks lined up in a row, just like I wanted them. And then somebody shot them. Sometimes it's attitudes or habits that we have that are boats that we sit in, and life is the same. And we don't really realize the full life that God has for us unless we get out of the boat into a new attitude, a new habit. It could be your financial condition, your spending habits. Those are boats that people are in. It could be a number of things, many things. Whatever it is that's your boat that you need to step out of, I encourage you today, identify your boat that you need to get out of. John Ortberg said, if you want to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. Now here's the second thing I want to get to you, and that is this, that Peter listened to Jesus. Underline the word listened. How many of you know that you can hear things and that doesn't mean you listened? You know, your dad or your mom tells you things that need to be done and you hear them, but you don't really listen and let it sink in. And it doesn't mean that you're following through necessarily with action because you just heard them. Peter listened to Jesus. And I believe that's really why he risked climbing out of the boat. He didn't just do it on his own. And I want to tell you this, that Peter experienced nothing out of the ordinary until he climbed out of the boat. Often, let me just say this, God, if you will move, I will get out. But I like what Pastor Hagin's, he has a book out there in the bookstore called It's Your Move. And God is waiting for us to make a move. It's our move. If we move, many times it's like this. We move, he moves. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you today that nothing extraordinary happens until you climb out of the boat, and those feelings will follow the action, not the other way around. We're like all other people until we climb out of the boat. We're just like everybody else. We got our boat. And God wants us to get out of the boat and follow Him. Do what He says. Peter had a boat, had a purpose in climbing out of the boat, and that was to obey and do what Jesus said. He didn't just do it for fun. He didn't do it to show off. He didn't do it to make others look bad. He didn't do it to make others look up to him. He didn't do it because it would earn him a prominent place on Jesus' team. He didn't do it because his publicity agent told him it would earn him at least 11 verses in the Gospel of Matthew. He didn't do it as a bungee jumping, cliff climbing, skydiving, day trading, tornado chasing, adrenaline rush. He did it because Jesus said to do it. He took the risk. Everybody say risk. He took the risk because Jesus told him to do it. I'm reminded of years ago, I think the year was 1987. It was in Orlando, Florida, and we were at a Wet n' Wild, one of those water slide parks kind of thing. And they had a water slide 5 stories high. It's called Der Stocke. It's a German, I believe, for the stem. And it just came almost straight down and then curved and went out. There was nothing. And I found myself, I don't know why I did it. I don't even like heights. But I went around and around and around and climbed up there and got up to the top. And then I'm wondering, why did I do this? I know how Peter felt when he stepped out of the boat. But I stood up there, and you know what they do? The attendant pushes you off. And I said, there is no way I'm going to let somebody push me off, and I'm 5 stories up. But you know what? The rest of the people we were with were waiting right down at the other end. And there's no way I'm going to take the walk of shame back down. But I can't let this guy push me off. And the attendant said, okay, just stand right there and just watch. So he pushed several people off and they didn't get hurt. And everybody just flowed down through there and everything. And so finally, I sat down on the edge, put my legs over the edge. They said, cross your legs, cross your arms. And he pushed me off. I mean, the first 20 feet is 80 degrees. That case, in case you don't know, 90 degrees is vertical. And I don't even feel anything. You know how long it takes to go 5 stories down? 4 seconds. You don't even have time to count. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, you're done. You're laying down at the bottom. You got your, it feels like you got your swimming trunks clear up to your neck. Your feet are shaking. They don't want to walk. And I'm feeling like a fool because I'm laying down looking up and everybody's looking at me. I rode that thing twice. First and last time, all at once. 30 minutes later, I looked back at it, and I shook every time I looked at it. Believe me, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. It was a risk. I can't say that Jesus told me to do it. But I know how Peter felt when he stepped out of the boat. The truth is that Peter took a risk, but he was not foolish. Because you see, listen to this. He risked climbing out of the boat when Jesus called. See, that's a risk. Foolishness would be to stay in the boat even though God calls. Here's another thing. Jesus risked obeying God, Jesus, but foolishness would be what? Disobeying God. Another thing, he risked walking toward Jesus. Foolishness would be walking away from him. What if he just, instead of going to Jesus, stepped out on the boat and found out he could walk, and he started running around the boat instead of going to Jesus? Maybe outside the boundaries of what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, come. And finally, he risked crying out to Jesus when he began to sink. Foolishness would berate oneself for making the mistake and not even look to Jesus for help. So here's my admonition on this. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. If he tells you to step out, do it. There's a new life. And that brings me to number three. Peter risked climbing out of his boat and experienced a new life in God as a result. Peter experienced, let me just tell you this, he didn't do it perfectly. He experienced God's mercy and willingness to help an imperfect person. Now, if we took a poll in here, and maybe we ought to, because sometimes the enemy beats people over the head because of some failure, some defeat that somebody experienced. And sometimes people are unwilling to step out again because of something that happened. And I don't know about you, but how many of you'd be brave enough to say, and I've got my hand up, how many of you ever failed at something, but you tried again? You tried again. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy would lie to you and say, you're the only one. You're the only one. You're the stupid one. You're the klutz. You're the one that can't get it right. The truth is, almost every successful person that I know has a few things in their background where it didn't work right, but they kept going. They kept on going. Now, I want to tell you today, Peter didn't get it right because he started out good and then he got his eyes on the waves and on the wind. And let me tell you this, he had good intentions. How many of you had good intentions even when it didn't work? You had good intentions in your heart. You wanted to do what God said. But here's the thing. Peter had good intentions to do what Jesus told him to do, but he messed it up when he listened to the fear that gripped his mind and caused him to be afraid because of the wind and the waves. I don't know how tall those waves are. It doesn't really matter because, you see, if you can walk on water, it doesn't make any difference. You can walk on the wave. You can walk on the calm. But you see, the truth of the matter is Peter looked at the wrong thing. Sometimes we look at the wrong thing and it causes us to not experience the success that we could have had. And as Peter began to sink because of looking at the wrong thing, I'm sure that he experienced a myriad of emotions and thoughts as he walking on water and sinking and then Jesus rescuing him. I'm sure he had that exhilarating feeling of walking on water. I don't know. I just have to think that would be thrilling to be walking on water, doing something you couldn't do. And I'm sure he's thinking, I'm doing the impossible. I'm doing something that people aren't supposed to be able to do. And then the experiencing the crippling fear of the circumstances and the despair as he began to sink. I don't know. I've often wondered, how far did Jesus let him sink before he reached out a hand? I don't know. But as he sank, can you feel the despair? I'm going to sink. I'm going to die. And then the incredible feeling of Jesus' hand closing in on your hand and lifting him up. And he's thinking, God, you're so merciful. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to sink. Can you imagine the emotions of the moment? The truth of the matter is Peter did walk successfully with Jesus back to the boat. They did it together. This time Peter did it perfectly with Jesus. And I can tell you, I'm sure their relationship was never the same. Never the same. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, without me, you can do nothing. But what did Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do these things in my own strength. I have to tell you, I look at the failures of the times when things didn't work, and I have to admit to you, more times than not, I was really not depending on God like I should have. I had ideas. How many of you have ideas? I had ambitions, and I was competitive, and you know, I was active, and I just knew that if I worked hard enough, you know. And I'm not dumb, you know? I can do this. When you pick yourself up and you realize that my intellect is not enough, my strength is not enough, what I'm able to do is not enough. And that's the secret of the Christian life, is you got to depend on God. You got to depend on God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, depend on him. Now, here's an interesting thing. Peter walked on the water, sank, and was rescued and walked on water again. And Jesus looked at him and said, why were you afraid, oh, you of little faith? He said, you had little faith. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody walked on water in this room? I've tried it. It's beyond my faith level. In one sense of the word, the truth of the matter is I found this out because I went to, okay, great faith. I'd like great faith, but it said Peter had little faith. He had enough faith to get out of the boat, I can tell you that. He had enough faith to reach out to Jesus when he was sinking. He had enough faith to walk with Jesus back to the boat. Jesus says little faith. I thought to myself, then what is great faith? And I found this out. As I looked at the two times that Jesus said he found great faith, one was the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, he said about them, they had great faith. And I found out that great faith is really not determined by the accomplishment, by its accomplishment, but by its consistency. These people did not waver. They were consistent in their believing, consistent in their speaking, consistent in their actions. Great faith. And I found out that it doesn't take great faith to walk on the water. It doesn't take great faith to step out of your boat. Whatever faith you got is enough for you to get out of the boat. You can walk on water too. You can walk in the supernatural. You can walk with God. You can follow Him. You can rise to the next step. You can go to another level. You can do what you hadn't previously done. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. I encourage you not to settle for anything less than what God has spoken to you and called you to do. Amen. And so we need to realize that. Take the risk. Climb out of your boat. It's the way to the next level with God. It's a funny thing about God. When God asks you to do something, it makes perfect sense from His perspective. It's just seems impossible to us. But if you follow Him, you'll find out it makes sense. Isn't that amazing? So now, The title of my sermon is Climb, C-L-I-M-B. I do that and I think I'm on Wheel of Fortune or something, choosing letters. But I want to look at those letters just for a few moments to kind of help us think through how can I climb out of my boat and go do what Jesus said. First of all, the letter C is to change my thinking to God's word. Change my thinking to God's word. Peter did not walk on water until Jesus said, come. And that word that Jesus spoke changed his thinking. Climb. Very first letter, C, change my thinking to God's word. The letter L, listen to God's voice. Friend, we can go through life and we can be busy and we can have the best of intentions, but if we do not take time to listen to God, to get quiet, to hear his voice, we'll miss out on some of the best things in life. I wonder how many people live and die and don't ever reach their dreams, fulfill their destiny, because they just never took time to listen to God, to hear what they've really been born for on this earth. One person said it this way, that most people go to the grave with their music still in them. They never really found out what they were really created for, to be here on this earth, and never experienced it. Listen to God's voice. He will tell you why you're here. He will tell you his plan. He'll tell you the next step. The letter I, invite God to help you. You're gonna need his help. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to need his help. He will never tell you something that you could do without his help. Well, now, if God moves, I can do this. But if he doesn't, I got this, this, and this. Friend, I'm going to tell you this. Following God, there's a lot of things you do in the natural, but there's some impossible aspects to that plan. Friend, if you can figure out everything and get everything done on your own without God's help in the plan that you think is God's plan for you, let me ask you to go back and dream again, listen to him again, and allow him to enlarge your thoughts about what you could do in life. Because I believe that God has something really, really good for you to do. Invite God to help you. The letter M, this is a really important one. Meet your fears head on. That's a biggie, isn't it? That's where a lot of people, the fear grips their mind, and they forget to reach out to God. I want to tell you, thoughts of fear will come as you step out. I'm sure they will. Thoughts come to everybody. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The moment those thoughts of fear come, reach out to Jesus. Why? With your faith. Believe. Because he will reach down with his hand and help you, hold you, guide you, direct you, sustain you, and keep you, just like he did Peter. And finally, the letter B. Believe in God who called you. Remember, if you're stepping out of the boat because of what Jesus said for you to do, he's the one that called you. Remember, believe. How many times have I gone back to the reference point of when God called me, when things didn't seem to work, things didn't go the way I thought? Did God call me? And I have to go back to 1978, December, standing in a house worshiping God after we'd been caroling, doing Christmas carols, and we were there doing some praise and worship, and I'm facing southwest. That's southwest, in case you didn't know. facing southwest with my hands lifted up, and all of a sudden the ceiling disappeared and a bright light came, and Jesus pointed a big finger at me and said, "I've called you to preach." I've had times when I wanted to forget that. I've had times when I didn't really think it was going to work. I had times when what I stepped out to do did not work. And I wanted to quit so bad and go do something else. I never asked to be a preacher anyway. That was God's idea. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to make money. I think a lot of it had to do because I grew up poor. So I had my own ideas, okay? But you know, I never quit. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I couldn't figure out how to get around that big finger he pointed at me, or the words that I heard that day. "Go in all the world and preach the gospel." That's what he said, and I've not been able to get around that yet to this day. So I keep on doing what I'm doing because he said so. I keep believing in the God who called me. I want to tell you something. God's called you to do something. Believe in him who called you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're doing a mighty work in the lives of these people. Touch their hearts. Encourage them. For those who have not experienced the success or the accomplishments that they thought they would, and defeat still seems bitter, tastes bitter in their mouth, failure just seems like a prominent thought in their mind, I'm asking you to touch their life, encourage them, raise them up, help them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, I thank you for helping everyone here today climb out of the boat and follow you into all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm going to look around this room. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Jesus I've been talking about today? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Is there a moment in your life where you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, "Jesus is my Lord"? If you haven't ever done that, I invite you today to take that step. Step out of your boat and confess Jesus as Lord and your Savior of your life. Perhaps you're here today and you've done that, but you've followed a path that really didn't go the direction that God wanted you to go. And you need to rededicate your life. You need to restore fellowship between you and Jesus. Today, I'm going to ask you to step out of that boat that you've been living in and start walking with Jesus again. As I look around this room right now, for ushers, if you'd help me, I'm looking for people that would slip your hand up and say, "I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life." I see that hand right there. Anybody else that would raise their hand? Somebody needs to rededicate their life. I see that hand. You can put it back down. Anybody else that would raise their hand and say, "I'm going to step out of my boat and I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to rededicate my life to Jesus this morning. I'm going to step out of the boat and follow Jesus." Anybody else? I'm going to step out, down off the platform, and I'm going to stand right in front of the podium here. And I'm going to ask you to meet me there. If everybody stand, that'll make it easier for them to come, get out of their seats. But if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you need to rededicate your life this morning, I'm asking you to come now. Come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. God bless you for coming. We're very proud of you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Very proud of you. Thank you for coming. We're very proud of you for making this step. Anybody else that would want to come at this moment? Got some more coming? I'm going to wait just a moment. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's believe God in prayer. We're going to wait for you. You need to come. This is your moment. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of help. Today's your time. Step out of your boat. Come. Anybody else? Wait just a moment. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We're proud of you. Anybody else? All right. Very good. I've got these little books right here. New Birth, In Him, and White Tongues. If I wanted to give these to you, how would you get these? How would you get these? You would reach out and get those books just like that. You got to reach out and take what Jesus, what God is offering you today. You'll get some books just like that. All of you will in just a moment. But that's what you do. You simply reach out to God. I'd like for you to lift one hand toward heaven because what you're wanting today comes from Him, from God, not from me. I'm going to pray for you, but God will give you what you need. I'm going to pray for you right now in Jesus' name that you will receive what it is that you need, salvation, rededication in your life, in Jesus' name. I pray for salvation and rededication for you and for you, sir, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you refined everything that you came for in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you open your eyes and look at me, I thank you so much. I'm very proud of you. We're all very proud of you for making this step. This is a great step for you. And to find out a little bit more about the step you took, there's Brother Greg right there. If you'll follow him, he'll explain it a little bit more in depth and give you those books and help you to find everything that you came for. And on this next Sunday morning, we have a room called Turning Point right back there, where it's a class for people who've just stepped out of the boat and started walking with Jesus. And you can be there, and it's just for you. We'd like to invite you to be there. God bless you, Brother Greg. If you just follow Brother Greg right there. Just go that way. Here, you want to go this way? You want to go to him? God bless you. Give him a great big hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're very proud of them. Hallelujah. How many of you remember the day you took a step and started following Jesus? Isn't that a great moment? Amen.